All right, we're back.
It's a rainy day here in Champaign, and I have to go to a 5K tonight that starts at 7 p.m.
Oh no.
My daughter's running in it, and I'm like, oh no, why would they do a fifth grader has to run at 7 p.m.? It sounds scary.
I was at a 9U baseball game last night from 7:15 to 8:45.
What is the deal with
Pretty
that?
late.
I mean,
I
why
don't
they
like
stay
that.
up till like.
I was out last night just till like 7:30. I was like, this doesn't feel right. I don't know if I like it anymore being out at night. Like I want to have my party and my fun during the day, and that is it. At night, let me be home locked away with a TV and some warmth and a blanket and all that stuff. Let me tell you this though. I started watching that show Them last night.
Oh
Did you see my text? It is
What's
insane.
it?
What? You're freezing up on us,
What
Matt.
is it?
It's just a show.
What is it?
It's a really good show. One of the guys it was from Lost. I don't know if I know any of the other characters. I think they might be new actors or whatever. But I don't want to give too much away. I'm not gonna give anything away. I just want you to watch it. The first episode is so intense, and bad thing after bad thing just keeps, and you're like, I can't believe it. Like if it was a movie, the first episode, you'd be like, "That was just I can't believe they could do that." I mean, and then it goes right into the second episode where you're like, "Well, I mean, there is a little bit here and there of a little bit of cheesy acting or a little bit of the bad thing is not maybe as scary as it can be, or CGI is a hair off." But I'm just saying, as far they just nailed it with like, "Oh my gosh, this is so intense," and
I've never
it
even
just
heard
it
of
just, I know I Allie was like, hey, we should just watch the show. I don't know what it is, and I was like, okay, we'll give it a shot, and it's just crazy. I just don't want to give anything away. I want you to
it.
just
Yeah, I'll
watch
watch it.
because it's
Did you
just
just
yeah
watch
watch
the
it.
you just
No,
watch the
I'm
first
like four
episode?
episodes in now. I think it's still
Oh
great.
wow.
Like it's holding up. Second episode is great, and you just realize like in a bad situation what people have to do even though they're good. And then it's just I mean, I guess
That's cool.
I just don't want to give any spoilers just because I think if I even say anything, it could take something away. Like it's just I just thought it was awesome. I was like, I haven't seen a show
I'll
like
watch it.
that where I was just like, oh man, right from the get-go, you're like, whoa, I'm in. You know what I mean? Like you're like,
It
oh.
what's the like the genre?
I guess it's
Is it
horror. I guess
horror,
it is
not
horror.
sci-fi? It's horror.
So basically it's this little small town, this family arrives in this little small town, and that's all I'm gonna say. But it's just
But
like, and
so
there's,
is it like the horror that I don't like, or is it horror I can tolerate?
yeah, you'll like it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not like, it's more like it's not werewolves and vampires, I guess, but it's more like that. Like it's not like ghosts
Oh,
or
more
demonic, I don't
mythical kind
think.
of stuff like
Yeah,
that.
it's more
Yeah, to
like,
be specific, what Devin doesn't like is demon horror. Yeah, I don't
yes.
like demon horror.
Because it's too
It's,
real.
yeah,
I don't
that's
like possession
yes.
spirit stuff.
I mean, that stuff's
That kind of
real.
scares
Devin lives it. He don't want to have to watch a movie
I
about
mean, it's still in my bones. I can't
I
help it.
know.
I mean, it's always
Same.
scary to
I'm
me.
same. Same.
And it
I
might be real. I'm not
agree.
saying it's real or not, but either way, it scares the shit out of me at home, and I can't help it.
It is
If it
interesting. I believe we are coming into some kind of time where what everybody explained as spiritual wasn't made up spiritual goofy nonsense. It is real. It's just the way they explained it because they couldn't explain it in more modern terms or in way, so they just didn't know. Like, I mean, like when the eclipse happened a few weeks ago, I was like, there is no way if I was, 5 or 6, 700 years ago, maybe even less than that, if I saw the sun blotted out for a little bit, then I wouldn't go, something's happening crazy that I can't explain. And now, like literally 2 weeks from now is the craziest cicada thing that's ever happened in like 200 years. Like the 13-year cicadas and the 17-year cicadas are matching. And so it's just going to be insane. Like you're going to go, oh, there's a plague of locusts now too. Of course, you know what I mean? Like you would go, oh, well, God is punishing us. We did say blotted out the sun. He, Cecil there stared at it and he can't even see anymore. And there's all kinds of bad stuff that you would just, and that's their language for it. And now we have language for it, but there is something in whatever spiritual, maybe, and I don't know if it's still, I don't really like the term good and evil anymore. That feels so harsh, black and white. Like, I don't know, because nobody's all evil or all good, I don't think. I just don't. I mean, there's that idea of Satan or Lucifer as rebelling against God and then became all evil. But that, even that story lacks something there, a nuance to me, that, you know, and so I don't really like that language, but there is something. Everybody feels there is a connective idea of something or a group or a being wants bad for you or wants to win or beat you or take what you have, or there is that, you know what I mean? Like there is good and evil, I think, but I don't know how you necessarily explain that, but I do think we're headed to a time where we're going to see more and more, and you're like, oh, what we call demons, this is what it is. And it is freaky and crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is something, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, if you start with the eclipse and you see the sun blotted out by that, and there's these bad things, I mean, it's not hard to get to the concept of darkness, or there's power in darkness. Right. Like, that's not hard to go away. I know this is powerful, but also there's another type of power. And then you are curious, and being a superstitious being and understanding that there is the opposite of the one thing, there's another type of power, then you figure out what that is and tap into it. So you have and then tell stories about it and stuff. Some of it's true, some of it's literal, some of it's figurative, but and we also go all the way to, you know, multidimensional beings. Right. I mean, so how you would only could call them spiritual, but the fact that, you know, ants don't know about us or good and evil, they just, we're up here impacting them on higher levels than they're aware of. And so there's no reason to think there's not necessarily more dimensionality of entities that are non-human that would be could be above us that we just don't have the ability to deal with, whether they're technological or alien, or, you know, I mean, like, you don't have to name exactly what it is to understand that it could be there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I kind of feel about it now is I do probably think there is in a sense spiritual, whatever that means. I'm not saying it's like specifically the Christian definition of what spiritual is, but it could be. But also I feel like that,
is it a definition? Does it have to be a definition? I think that's where I'm like,
I don't necessarily,
it's a description. Let's just go with description.
Because I think
not
there
definition.
Are, like you said, with the multidimensional stuff, I think there are things that you can't really explain, and it's just hard to understand, and it exists, but it doesn't really exist. And like, I feel like in America specifically, and I'm sure in plenty of other parts of the world, not just us, that those types of things get buried under layers and layers and layers of other crap that we have in our life. You know what I mean? Like other things that we fill our time and our thoughts and our energy and all this stuff. And there's something to me about, like, when you strip away those things, it's like meditation. It's like all these things that make you more balanced and you kind of are able to focus in. I think there are people in the world who have less and experience less things, and they're more just grounded in general, probably to the natural things or whatever, that maybe they do experience those things more frequently, whatever they are. Maybe they can just see them more clearly, or they can they just kind of cross their path more regularly because of the lack of clutter in their lives or something like that. That's what it feels like to me. And I just feel like we just constantly are trying to push those things down. Whatever it is, it's like there's all these other things piling on top, and it's just like, oh, I don't have time or vision or clarity or whatever it is for all those things that I just kind of want to avoid. Or maybe even as kids, we wanted to experience God. You know, we used to pray in church, God, let us experience those things again. I'm like, but you didn't really want to experience those things. You just, people just wanted to have someone in their corner, some evidence that they weren't wrong, is basically the way it was. It was less of a real experience and more of like, just show me that you're real, not that I'm not crazy.
Right. In a controlled place, in a controlled way, at a controlled time.
Right, right. That's the way it feels to me, at least. I don't know.
I think too, like, there's other things that you accept in the ether. Like, everybody understands, like, momentum. I've seen it, like, watching NBA playoffs and stuff like that. You just see all of a sudden something happens, and then it's not just that all of a sudden they're super better at making the shots. It's like an energy happened from one thing, and now it's the same way as a spark happens with a song. You know, you can be sitting there on the guitar for hours and like, this sucks. There's nothing. And then you just hit one little chord or something. You're like, wait a minute. And then all of a sudden it just flows. And like that one feels good. That's not demonic or bad. But right, if it's, right. if there's that positive side, it does feel like there's a negative side. You know what I mean? Go. There's both. And we see the bad one because it hurts or there's pain or sadness involved as evil, but it's not necessary evil. It just isn't quite the right word for it.
It's something like building off that. Like, you know how people have negative self-talk and they get depressed and they get all these things. Like the darker you allow yourself to be, and I don't mean that those people are doing anything wrong. It just feels like if you get into a dark place, it's easier to see and hear the darker energy.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That just feels more natural. This in the same way of a positive self-talk.
Yeah.
Those guys who used to coach the NBA players that, you know, like the guy who Phil Jackson used to bring in for Jordan and them, like, he was able to put them in to tell them you can get to that place anytime you choose to get to that place.
Right.
It's up to you to find the place.
Yeah.
Not, you know what I mean? In the same way I would say in the negative side, the darker side, it's up to you to find it. It's there. You just got to find it.
So with the song thing is like the way that everybody's comfortable with saying the thing that we're saying. It's kind of crazy because we always talk about it, but this is the thing that nobody gets mad at you for saying. You find the song, you channel the song, you channel the idea, you find the guitar note. It's just out there because it's kind of neutral. It's guitar notes, right?
Yeah.
But it really is the song, and the song is an idea. But the song's not a person, is it? It's not a spirit itself that, like, has a name. I mean, I don't think so, but it's just an idea. You can channel the idea of communism or something. It was discovered more than invented, right?
Yeah.
And the idea, people are kind of comfortable with ideas existing in this other space or this space that, you know, can be inhabited by. So you can be possessed with an idea, can't you? You can channel a song, can't you?
Yeah, right.
So as long as it doesn't need to be a demon named this that looks like this, and as long as you don't have to do that with it, you can see how you can channel or be possessed by all types of things that aren't just music and songs or images. You know, images you can be the receiver of things that seem that they are here.
Yeah.
So you can be possessed with an idea for a song and channel it and receive it. Nobody gets too upset about that.
Yeah,
but
nobody,
things
yeah.
that aren't as harmless as songs, probably you can channel them too. But now it's scary.
Yeah, and that's the same way as an idea infiltrates a whole population of people or something. You know what I mean? Like there's an idea that happened a long time ago where people were like, yeah, let's get out of England and go start this new country or something. And now, you know, because that idea, it became something even more.
It's a spirit of freedom.
Physical.
Right. Is that a demon? Right. You know what I mean? Right. Is that an angel? Right. The spirit of freedom. And it inhabited the people and they went to America and started a new, like, is it good or bad though? I mean, is America good or bad that bombs Iraq or what? It's like, I don't know. It's just a thing. It's an idea. Right. And this is what it looks like when it goes, and it's good and bad. That, I mean, that's, you know, and the Bible, they say, what's the, like, I always was struck by when they say the list of us, of powers and principalities and things, like they list it like there's a bunch of types of things to resist or be aware of. So that's, there's just like a list of types of things that are not humans, they're entities, right? There's entities or and ideas and things or, you know, whatever the language is in the Bible that it's like a laundry list of things that exist.
Well, that's what I've been thinking about too lately, because I was watching something about just how we don't know what consciousness is, and it's still not really explained. We don't really know that much. And I started thinking about consciousness and good and evil. Like, that's just like Dottie the other day came in and smashed her head on the door. Right. And she was just trying to get in from the rain or whatever, coming in fast. And it was a little wet and slippery. And I was like, she doesn't think, oh, this is evil or something happened or woe is me or bad. She went right on. Right. Like, and I know maybe she even has some level of consciousness too. But I was thinking the more aware you are, the more aware you are of what you can lose, what your pain is, what how bad things are, and then you attach something like evil if it gets taken. Like for example, like if my child was to die, I would just go, this is the most horrible, evil, worst thing. You know why? I would, you know, I can't imagine a parent like in the cancer ward and losing their kid, and you're like, I'm supposed to believe in this benevolent God that loves me, and yet they didn't have to do cancer, but they did, and I'm supposed to learn some lesson. You know, you would only think in terms of bad or good, and I can see that, but I think that's a part of the consciousness thing there, and that's why I wonder, AI, if it does become conscious, then does it think, oh no, I don't want to be turned off, human? Or, you know, like, does it, is good and bad attached to consciousness, that big fear of AI being conscious, then it actually goes, oh no, I don't want to lose power or die or not, so I will do this to these humans or something. You know what I mean? I want to be in control. I don't want them to control my life. I want my freedom. Like, I mean, there is some level there that good and bad and consciousness are all tied intrinsically together, maybe on a
Oh
certain
yeah, for
level.
sure.
And that
I
will,
would
that then it seems like AI would eventually then get that way.
I would say
That's the next step.
I would say that's absolutely right, because I just feel like we put, like you said, we put labels and tags on things after the fact.
Yeah.
You know,
In
like
order to deal with them, we
in
use
order
good
to
and
deal,
evil.
like
Yeah,
someone who
right.
killed, someone who committed genocide, and I'll be sensitive with what I say here, but someone who had the idea to eventually become part of something that eventually became part of something bigger, that eventually became something that killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
In their mind, it was good.
Right.
Do you
Right.
understand
Oh,
what I'm
yeah.
saying?
The
In their
only way to
mind,
do genocide is to believe it's good. There's
right.
not
So, I
a bad,
mean,
it's
you
not
have to
a
save
the
the
idea
greater, right?
began as a seed of something good to them
Right.
that they that persuaded them to continue, that is worth continuing and building and doing all this. And obviously, when you look at it from a different side, it's like, well, that's the most evil thing you could ever do, but not to
Yeah.
somebody.
Yeah.
They were possessed with the bad idea.
Right. I'm not saying it was a good idea to kill a bunch of people. I'm saying whatever the idea they had was just an idea,
Yeah.
and they didn't really consider the effects that it might have had
Yeah,
until later
but it's
that.
not it, yeah, and it's not that crazy because you could genocide certain animals or sharks. It wouldn't be hard for us to genocide out sharks, and they have
Rats.
consciousness on some
Yeah,
level. Yeah, it's like,
right.
well, you're doing a good thing when you, because sharks are,
Yeah.
you know what I
Right.
mean? It's like, wait a minute, and you know, it's like sharks are easy. Whales, like, who would kill whales? Of
Right.
those bad hunters. Well, I mean, almost
Yeah.
everybody's ever lived have ever had the idea of a shark, and one shark attack would have pushed the genocide all sharks button. That'd be a
Yeah.
mistake.
Right.
Right.
And I mean,
But
we could,
you could see why they would think it was good
yeah.
to do.
Right. Well,
Now we have
even in the
Shark
same
Week, so it's
way, even
fine.
in the same way with, you know, cancer or kids dying, whatever it is, it's all terrible and sad and awful. If it was my kid, of course I would just, it just would be the most devastating thing you could ever go through. But I keep going back to the idea of it's just death. It's just a part of what we who we are.
Yeah, it
Everybody
is.
dies at a point. And some people die younger, some people die older, some people die for different reasons. And so for me, it's like when people get so caught up, and of course I understand when it's a personal thing, it's very hard to deal with. It's very difficult to understand, to
Yeah.
explain, all that stuff, but it just happens.
Yeah, I would say it's funny too. You were talking about that because, like, I around this time of year, stink bugs. Like there'll be like, you know, a handful of stink bugs that get in the house and I save them. I don't even know why. I don't, not that I,
Oh,
but, but also for whatever reason, this time of year too, there are so many flies outside and they keep getting inside and I hate flies. And I was like, well, I'll let the stink bugs go. So I'm going to try and get the flies out and save them too. And then they wouldn't go out. And I said, fuck it. And I just started killing them.
Fuck off.
I
Yeah,
killed,
right. Smash them.
I literally killed like three flies today, dropped on the ground, pointed at it, and made Dottie come over and she ate them. And I was like, that's wild. This thing was alive a second ago. And I have no remorse really at all. I was like, I
Oh
tried my
yeah.
best, but you didn't get it. So you dumbass is dead now. And my
Yeah.
dog, you're in my dog's
Yeah.
stomach now. And you're right. The other idea there is that you go, well, some people go, you know, like a Christian might would go, genocide's awful, right? But they totally understand God destroying the whole world except for Noah's family. This is that's right. Like, well, let me wipe off everybody because it was good.
And that's more than genocide.
He saved a few animals and one family. It was like, okay, you know, I mean, and let y'all start over because that was bullshit. I don't care. I don't care about all the humans or animals that lived. I'm starting over. I'm going to murder everybody. And we go, well, that was good because God knew what he was doing. You know, he had to do that because the world was so evil. And you're like, what? I don't think all the rest but Noah were. So, I mean, Noah, as he gets off the ark, gets wasted. So why did God choose him? He got wasted immediately. I mean, it's insane. Yeah.
And it's probably good that you keep your house, the flies out of your house and the germs or whatever. It's probably good.
Oh, I know. Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
Flies feel like the worst. No one can even care about a fly. I mean,
can they do anything productive? Is it, you know, bees are productive, even though I do kill a bee because they come around quite a bit. But I don't ever want to kill a bee, but I feel it's necessary at times because they, you know, whatever. But flies, do they have any purpose? Is there any purpose for a fly?
Yeah. They're part of this. I mean, yeah. Well, for one thing,
they just feed a frogs or feed other animals.
Their food for their food. Yeah, they do stuff. I mean, you couldn't. There's no one. Anything that's part of the ecosystem isn't there for a simply one reason. It's just there because it's part of the ecosystem. They're not
playing a vital role in microbial ecology and are important.
It can't be just one reason that anything is here.
They help break down organic material.
Oh, you know,
vomit on it and suck it up. They land on shit. Yeah. Vomit on it and suck it back up. It's the worst. They had the worst thing.
Yeah. They have the worst job.
They vomit onto
from your
shit
point of view
and suck it back up.
You need maggots are part of things, you know.
Yeah. But maggots are flies, right? Isn't that the same?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They do something, but they only live a day. Yeah. So when you swat them, they're only live a few more hours, you know.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know flies pollinated.
They're a food source for other animals. I mean, they get rid of stuff. I mean, obviously, they serve a purpose, but they're just so disgusting. I mean, I just hate
but
a fly.
I don't feel too bad about killing. I don't feel too bad about killing flies because they just there's always more. Like they always come back,
and they only
year.
Live a day, so you only cut them off by a few hours.
That's not that big a deal.
They actually live a
like if you
than a
if
day.
You you know even if you I killed a human like 12 hours early, could you feel how bad would you really?
Yeah,
but that's why like a way more a way farther advanced alien sees us as flies and like they just keep coming back. We tried to kill them 100 times, and now they're back again doing this thing. They think, I mean, that's what they think. I mean,
they just sit there and watch TV. And
I tried not to kill them, but they just wouldn't get it. They wouldn't stop. And so, you know, I'm going to have to kill them again. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to find out a lot. Anyway, hey, I got some damn news together. I didn't know if y'all wanted to do a couple of damn news.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Let's
these are all on the more serious side, but I thought they were, this is Toby's brain, what's interesting to me. You know what I mean? And I think all these come from Yahoo, too, by the way.
Yahoo's still going. Still going
still
strong.
Still going for me, boy. I love it. Actually, this is ABC News, too. So I'm not going to give this one away. I thought this was interesting. I'm not going to read the title first. Principal Eric Eisworth was removed from his position at Pikesville High School, I think this is in Baltimore, after the school district began investigating an audio clip that was circulated among the staff and social media in January, where it appeared that Eisworth made racist comments against Black and Jewish people. So the three-month probe, which involved the local police and the FBI, concluded that the audio was forged using AI tools by Dazon Darian, the athletic director at the school. So he made an AI that made the principal seem like he was saying racist stuff to get him fired.
Here we go.
Isn't that crazy? And it took local authorities and the FBI to figure it out now, today.
Wow.
What are we talking about a year or two from now? I mean, it might be indistinguishable. I mean, it's going to get harder, like whatever we view as reality. But I was just like, whoa, this is so crazy. This guy literally, I mean, and you know what's really bad for him is, I mean, people don't follow up. So they just think he's a racist. Yeah, that racist principal got fired. Well, they put that racist principal back in his job. Well, you know, I mean, like people just assume what they hear is true. And so that immediate acceptance of guilt is guilty before proven innocent now. You know what I mean? And, like, this guy was like, man, what is that going to do? Like, what is going to happen, like, in the entertainment industry? Like, even, you know, like, we're no names. But, I mean, there's going to be more and more where somebody makes somebody mad and they're just going to try to destroy them. And I don't know what will happen with it. I don't know what the repercussions are going to be for the even the people that do it. Maybe
well, I'm pretty sure it's something different. It's going to get dealt with in some different ways than you think. For one, well, let's imagine you have some bad shit out there. Let's just say we had, you know, who knows what I've ever said that's ever been recorded in the last 20 years. Yeah. You just go, who knows? So now if it shows up, at least I can claim AI.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
so you're not, if something does show up, I'm going to deny it. Say, I didn't say that. What are you talking about? I say, yeah. So I get out of jail free for it. Yeah. Okay. So that's one way to look at it. Another one is that here's what I really think is it's kind of cool to understand that authenticity and honesty and trustworthiness and if you can live transparent enough, that's going to be a good goal.
Yeah.
That's an ethic that is going to have more and more value for those people who are willing to be real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The people that manage their image, worse off. Now, somebody can fake and get me or something, whatever, but you know, like if I'm the more authentic and real and transparent I am, the safer I am also. Mm-hmm. And that probably is a good thing for everybody. So we might, you know, like imagine if they just said after tomorrow, there will never be privacy again. And everybody has a million sex tapes and racist tapes, everybody.
Yeah.
So, okay. There's sex tapes of everybody doing every bad thing and saying every bad thing, and you have zero privacy for the rest of your life starting tomorrow. Who will be the best in that environment?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's probably what the ethic of the future is like. You have to own your shit and be real. That's what I think.
This article gets a little funny because detectives allege that Darian used his large language models, such as OpenAI and Bing Chat, to create the recording. The charging document claimed that Darian had paid for an OpenAI account, which gives users more features than the free version. It's like, oh shit, this free version doesn't do as good. I got to pay for it. And then he got arrested. The guy that did it, they arrested him at the airport. He was trying to escape to Houston. He was going to fly to Houston to try to, so he got a bunch. Like
I wonder why he was trying so hard to get that guy.
I know. I think he just must have really not liked him or something. But
there's so many people that do that. Yeah. Like, there's tons of people that just want to take somebody down and power at their organization or whatever. That's infinity of those people out there. Yeah. So,
Here comes another one.
I don't know.
NBC News here. After $1.5 billion were spent, the centerpiece of Paris's Olympic efforts may still be too filthy to use. The Seine River, I think that's how you say it, right? The Seine River is so disgusting that I think that they haven't allowed people to swim in it for like it's been illegal for 100 years. It's so high pollution in the Seine River that runs in France, and they're trying to do the Olympics there, and they spent $1.5 billion to clean it, and it's still not good enough. That's how filthy those French motherfuckers are. They're disgusting. You know what I mean? Like, everybody talks about, oh, I want to go to Paris on vacation. They're so nasty romantic. They're nasty as hell.
Why is it so gross?
That's the reason why I brought this up. If anybody in America is making you feel bad about your carbon footprint or whatever, the rest of the world is horrific. Tell them to start with the rest of the world, too. I hate it that it's always like Americans need to step up. If we did anything, it wouldn't even make a dent. I'm not saying don't. I want to try. I want to make the world, I want the world to be clean, fresh air, fresh water, all those things. I'm 100% on board. But the idea of shaming somebody when you're like, wait, the French, the Seine River, you heard, that's one of the most famous rivers in the world. It's so filthy for 100 years, you couldn't even swim in it. 100, you know how long 100 years was? It got dirty over 100 years ago. They were polluting it horribly so. Way less humans on Earth, and the Seine River is just disgusting. You know what I mean? And now we have more, and so I'm just shocked. Like, a $1.5 billion won't even clean a river. It won't even clean a river, and not the whole river. just the part probably where they were going to do the Olympics. We're not talking about a river. We're talking about just a little section. It's insane. And I don't, I mean, I don't know what that is going to look like. And even going back to the AI thing, I do think at some point people are going to go, oh, well, we got to get rid of fully traveling places. And you'll just like, it was so funny. I was charging my Oculus, and it was a short charger, so it was laying face down on the counter. And I just leaned down. I'm in this little room in my house, and then I just leaned down with my head, you know, 2 inches off the counter with the goggles on, and now there's infinity. I can see for infinity, and I was like, oh, this is so crazy. Like, which one? It is weird that I go, oh, I'm back to the real place. It is strange. Like, that's getting less and less. Like, the VR is just as much. It's already almost as valid as the real place. Like, I know I still need oxygen and food in this place I call real. You know, I need medical attention, whatever, in this place. But as that gets better, AI and the virtual reality, I think we haven't seen – people are poo-pooing on virtual reality. I think it's going to be everything. I think it will stop travel because you will go to the Andes and climb a mountain and it'll feel just like it, and you won't have to leave your house and spend jet fuel or money or time on that. It'll just, you know, it'll be that. And all of our work will just come through that. Cause I mean, most work now is even, and so you'll be able to have a very small domicile and have more space than you've ever had in your life. You'll sleep outdoors in a way. You know what I mean? You'll be able to do whatever you want. It's just crazy. Like, that is what's next, is like the whole thing is. And so it won't matter. The rivers will clean themselves eventually, and the planet will heal itself because humans won't travel as much. And because
we won't be allowed into it.
Yeah. And then that's probably going to affect space travel. I think we'll just do space travel from here. I don't know if we're going to actually take a jet fueled rocket somewhere. I think somehow we're going to do something way smaller that can travel super fast without humans, and then we will experience space from here. You don't believe me? Why
well,
you laughing?
I agree with what you're saying. It's just it's on
zoom
the bigger
in on
level.
Maps right now. Zoom in on Google Maps right now to Kankakee, Illinois. You'll see it, Matt. You'll experience a lot already of what
right,
just that
right,
is. So
okay.
Why not Pluto? You can do, you know what I mean? Like
what I'm saying is that it will be a way where you will be unable to be allowed to access things like real rivers. And it will feel like a form of oppression, and it won't be as good. And only the elites will actually go places, but you will have to stay in the other way. It'll be more like who can and can't get real things, and there is going to be more benefit to real things, so it won't. But you can't go into the Teton National Park. You would pollute it, you peasant poor person.
But
you're
now
not
I
allowed.
Can't
you can go virtually
virtually I'll be able to. You're right.
And then when it comes to space travel, if you want tourism in space, but the reasons that are going to get us into the reason we're trying to go to space is because there's things to, first of all, learn and explore that we don't know, so we can't simulate it, right? We can't simulate Pluto until we can go.
And also,
we want the things out there, and we want to escape this planet, but you won't be able to. You'll be forced to go to the virtual Pluto because this is going to be a polluted hellhole or something. You won't be allowed to go to Pluto. You'll wish you could, and they'll say, yeah, don't worry, you can do a virtual Pluto. But you're like, whatever it is, and then, you know, the science fiction has that, where there's the belt you can live on the planet, or you can live in the, I don't know, whatever. Right. But you know, it's, but we have to get the AI and space are limited by what we've been able to discover, record, turn into language. You know, we're the experiencers of the universe, and until we can send probes and learn about the remote, we can't make virtual versions of it either. And until large language models and AI can no more than all of the data that we've already, like, it's trained on the internet, but we made the internet and we put all the words on it. So how can it go beyond that?
Right. Yeah. Well, that leads me to my next news story from the Los Angeles Times. Because another issue that I believe virtual and what do they call it? Haptic suits or whatever. Is that what it's called?
Haptic.
It'll get even crazier than that. But this says Harbor UCLA doctor is fired after county finds he regularly gawked at patients' genitalia, which is a weird term, gawking. So I'm going to try to read this one. Staff members at the UCLA Medical Center, a public hospital run by the county, told investigators that Dr. Lewis Kwong sometimes looked under the surgical covers of black males who were under anesthesia and discussed the genitals of the day, according to his discharge notice, which was obtained by the Times.
Nice.
Kwong also discussed his favorite sex positions and his preference for autoerotic asphyxiation. Additionally, investigators found that Kwong, an orthopedic surgeon, received more than $700,000 from the medical device company Zimmer Biomet, which makes joint replacements. So he seems like he flew twice to the companies. The discharge notice makes no mention of he was carrying a gun, too. Oh, what else did he do? Of course, he flew twice to the company's private plane to its Indiana headquarters, according to the February notice informing him of his firing. I don't know. Also, he shot a gun or something. But anyway, I was thinking about this is crazy. First of all, I just thought this one stood out because gawking. Gawking is a different kind of word, right? Like, it's not just looking. He opened it and didn't just look at it. He gawked. He was like, whoa, check that out.
Gawking implies expressive observing.
Right.
Right.
It's like going, ooh, hey. It's a little bit of audio.
Whoa.
With it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, whoa.
Would you look at that thing? Would you look at the size of that?
Hi-yo! That's gawking.
Yeah, he didn't just go,
hey, guys, look at this. He didn't do that. But the VR world, I think we'll be able to just do your visits without being in the room with the doctor and most of it. Now you'll still probably need surgery of some sort, but that's probably even going to be machines in the future, right? Won't a machine just be so much more precise on taking your appendix out than a human will? And you'll just go, yeah, I'll take that.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll just take that. But I mean, people are going to be scared of it for a long time. The same way as they're not going to let a machine fly a plane. They want the pilot. They don't even like it when a car self drives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was what was his job? He was a gawker.
Yeah, he was a gawker. All right, I got one more story for you guys. Real quick. The Supreme Court is debating whether they can punish people who are homeless.
Nice.
It's really crazy. When Helen Cruz pitched her tent in a city park a few years ago and made it her home, she chose the location for one reason. She wanted to be close to the houses she cleans for a living but could never afford for herself. People see the irony of it, she said. I never looked at it that way. What Cruz didn't realize then was that living in the park in Grants Pass, Oregon, would place her in the middle of a national debate where states and cities are trying to control the spike in homelessness by punishing the homeless. So that's what the Supreme Court's talking about right now. Should you be able to punish people that are in a park in a tent? And what do y'all think about that? Part of I'm a little torn on it because there are times like where I'm at the park and I'm like, man, I wish it was just felt a little more safe. But also I'm like, well, where do the people go and what do we do? And the system got them here. So I don't know. I'm really torn on this one. I think there has to be some punishment, maybe.
Well,
but or enforcement, maybe not punishment, but.
Right, right. I don't believe in punishment as a concept that, you know, punishment is the last resort for any possible thing. I essentially believe I think there's any solution. I think there's always, in theory, solutions that don't involve punishment. And I don't think of jail as punishment. I know we need jails, but it's not to punish, isn't the purpose of a jail, in my opinion. I wish everybody in jail had every amenity we could give them to grow and thrive and be better. But I want them not to be able to. They might need to be removed for some reason. Some people need to something, but it's not so that they can get punished. That serves some function, but I really don't think it should apply to homeless people. But that doesn't mean they have to be allowed to do whatever they want to do. Right. I don't think that.
Yeah, there has to be some kind of balance of compassion and help and also rules about it. I mean,
rules are fine.
That's what's but hard.
To not be allowed to break a rule or for when you break a rule for there to be something that happens doesn't necessarily qualify as punishment. So I'll just take issue with the term more. But rules are okay. You know, I'm a minimalist on that. But
I don't know what I mean would be. It almost seems, and I know there's flaws in probably every theory or idea you could come up with for this stuff. But like, it seems like there's a way you could, you know, the states and the cities and all this stuff, if there maybe there was a mandatory like homeless camps, or you know, maybe there's something to where there's ways you could build the cheapest housing possible in one area where people can go sleep, you know. And I understand there's options and there's whatever, but there's not many typically. So I mean, but that costs money and people don't want to spend money on those things, and rightfully so for some people maybe. And I mean, I don't know. It's just, that's a tricky subject because I don't give money to every homeless person I see. I don't want to help them, every person I see, because you just can't trust it. You can't, it's just hard to know.
Well,
I just don't really trust people like that.
It seems to be related to the governments themselves, because I was just in Manhattan where there's more people and always have had a lot of homelessness. I mean, it just doesn't strike me as a problem there.
Right.
So there's a reason why it's not a problem there, and it ain't because housing's affordable.
Right.
Yeah.
It ain't because of that. That's the most expensive housing and the most people and one of the harshest places. And of course there's some of that there, but it is worse in Seattle. It is way worse.
Yeah.
So there must be a difference in how it is managed that seems to matter. And I don't think it's because in New York they punish them or beat them or throw the jails are full of, I mean, I'm sure there's some stuff that you would see is harsher and it's seen as harsher maybe, but I really don't think it's a hidden problem. However it's dealt with there, it's different than they deal with it on some of these West Coast cities. And you're talking about Grants Pass, Oregon, not
I know
that high. You've been there, right? It's not, it can't be that expensive to live there or in the surrounding areas to, I mean, that's doesn't make as much sense.
No, I agree. All right. That's the damn news. Real quickly.
Yo,
we just had a spring drop on our merch.
Oh yeah,
and it's awesome.
And you know what else is coming up? You know what's coming up? That'll be a great gift for
what, Devin?
Mother's Day.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Oh, that's just beautiful attire. Wow. It's beautiful attire.
Yep, man, it is. It's great. Go pick up some new Emory swag. You're gonna really love it. We got some tours coming up. We're going out with Almost real soon, like in May. It's Midwest. We haven't been there in a while. Our Chicago show just got changed. Now it's at Chop Shop. So make sure you know that if you already got tickets for the Chicago show. The location has changed to Chop Shop. And that's going to be fun. I'm excited to go play several of those shows. The Midwest, Emory hasn't been able to go through in a while. So this is going to be a really good one. We got more tours coming up. We got the Mexico Festival and maybe some potentially going to have some other shows that we will be announcing in Mexico. I love Mexico. I am so happy to be back. It's by far my favorite place to tour outside of the U.S.
Great.
And then we're doing these short original custom songs videos. Devin and I, we've already done a bunch. They go quick, so I don't know how long we're going to continue to do this. You might want to go ahead and get it now, but so far it's going really good, so maybe we'll keep it up. I don't know, but they're really fun. You can send in, like, I wrote one about this guy's experience at the Iowa's for Lovers. I wrote one for a husband to his wife, just saying how awesome of a mom she is. We wrote some serious ones, some funny ones. They're really good. They're just short, like 30 seconds to a minute long, and we can just make little songs for it. We're calling it Jamio. Because it's not just a cameo. We're jamming. We're writing a little nice little song for you. And it's cheaper than the full-length custom song. Now, we still do the full-length custom songs, too, which are really awesome. And those are more produced, and you get the audio and everything. This is a video. But they're really cool and going great. Make sure you join Emoryland. We sure do appreciate it. You guys are awesome. In there, you help us do all the stuff that we are doing. You're basically just supporting art. And if you like great art, support us or support somebody else, another artist, another band. We sure do appreciate it. There's lots of perks, a bunch of music, bunch of specials in there. There's so much in there that I can't even go over it all. So there's lots of little perks. One of the perks is you get your name when you join Emoryland. You get your name read on this show. Devin, I was going to ask you if it's possible, could you read the names? And this week, the folks sent in their favorite church sign saying that they saw. Like they're riding by, I saw it.
And I love church signs. Those are great.
I know. Mm-hmm. They are great.
All right. I got some names here. Yep. First one, Kyle Leakway.
A 4-inch tongue can bring a 6-foot man to his knees.
Nice.
Yep.
Cameron Langley.
You are the reason Jesus came.
Rayla Sunshine.
I kissed a girl and I liked it. Then I went to hell.
John Roman.
We got, how many more we got?
Two more.
Okay.
This one and one more.
This is Psalm 16:11. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever.
Zachary Drabick.
Yep. And this one's Psalms 81:10. Open your mouth and I will fill it. So get your name read here on the podcast. Join Emery Land. We sure do appreciate it. We will see y'all next time.
See ya.